Wild Talk Radio Network.
Join us for a moment of silence as we honor the passing of Keishi Matsunaga's Alberta Heritage Championship reign.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night. You know what it means. Another edition of WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin. Now former champion, Keishi Matsunaga.
I feel bad that you gave me the 10 bells and not Antonio Inoki.
Well, we do comedy here.
That's fair. I appreciated it so very much. But at like it came on, I was like, oh, we're doing a thing for Antonio. That's great. And then Alberta, I'm just like, oh, no.
Because I saw the tweet. We had to acknowledge it.
Oh, of course.
You know, it happened. We also have the intern, Kane Kittens.
So does that mean we have to no longer acknowledge Keishi?
That might be how that works.
Since he's not the head of the kiddie table anymore? And I mean, to be fair also... That loss more directly impacts us than, like, at this moment, than Antonio. Not that Antonio didn't have a great impact on the, you know, business, but this affects us now.
Here and right now, I mean, yeah.
Yes.
And hopefully, Tim Stein?
Oh, God.
He's doing it on purpose.
This is once on purpose. He said he checked it, so I know he says it works. Just gonna let the music get in play. He'll tell you talk. So, oh no. Oh no.
God damn it, Tim's gonna kill me. That's perfect.
he said he tested it and it worked.
Look, the NHL has its preseason. Apparently, this show has a preseason, which we're going through right now. So, stream rules, huh?
Yes, we're here to talk about WWE Extreme Rules, which is live this Saturday on the WWE Network from my backyard, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Wait, are you sure it's not Sunday, Rock?
I am sure, Brent. It is not, in fact, Sunday, like you keep telling the world that it is on Sunday.
I'm not saying it, but I'm just so used to WWE pay-per-views being on a Sunday.
And we had the discussion, and then you, in fact, went down the list and went, oh, that was Saturday, that was Saturday, oh, that was a Sunday, but that was a Saturday, and that was a Saturday.
Okay, so aside from this year, how often, I mean, this year is an anomaly. how often have they been on Saturdays? They weren't. Like, takeovers may have been on Saturdays, but that was it.
But they changed the way they're doing things. You gotta... Those were paper.
It's screwing up my head,
Brent. Those were pay-per-views, the premium live events that could be seen on the Peacock and the WWE Network worldwide are on Saturdays majority now.
Doing Peacock.
So that's where we're at. So we're gonna break it all down, and maybe Tim will unmute and realize, oh, this connector goes to this connector, and boom, it works. He's what yelling the at the
one. Okay, there we go. So we'll see him in about 20 minutes.
So we went through this last time. He rebooted and nothing still worked. So we'll see if this damn thing in fact works. So we're going to break down the card and talk about the matches that are going to happen this Saturday at Extreme Rules. And it's a card, Casey, that is full of actual Extreme Rules matches.
Yay! We did it!
Does that mean when Triple H has a Hell in the Cell pay-per-view, it's all going to be Hell in the Cell?
Where the match that is in Hell in a Cell will actually matter?
Well, that's what I really hope for.
Yeah. So we'll kick it off with a good old-fashioned Donnybrook.
Someone's legitimately going to die in this match.
It is the Brawling Brutes taking on Imperium. What do we think?
Someone will not walk out of this match.
What's the someone?
At least one injury will be reported.
Okay, who's
Saturday night.
Who's the betting odds of him being injured?
Whoever is matched up with Ridge Holland.
Oh,
wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Just like, the one thing that I really like that they've done with this.
Did you guys hear that?
Yes.
Come in!
Did you guys hear that?
We hear that.
Is that a ghost?
That's kind of ironic you said that, because I've just been marathoning the TV show Ghosts.
It's the ghost of Keishi's championship reign knocking and haunting him.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
Yeah, is that better?
We've been there already. We've done that.
Oh, okay.
We've done
the deal. So this happened and that happened. Keishi, how did you lose your title? Shame on you.
I took a Panama Sunrise straight square on my brain.
Ow. Who won?
The guy who gave me the Panama Sunrise.
You're not gonna let us know who beat him?
Don't let him go over.
TJ Cannon, the guy that I actually won the belt from.
Oh, so he got it back.
Yes, there were some shenanigans. I got kicked in the dales.
Oh.
Ding dong. Well, then, you know what? As commissioner, I demand that you demand a rematch.
Hopefully that's the plan.
Wait, that's the guy with the cannonballs. That's the guy with the cannonballs on his tights, right?
He's got the bombs on his tights, yes.
Okay, yeah. Bombs.
Who's got the smoker's cough? Quit smoking. It's not good for you.
I'm not smoking.
He's only had this cough for 30-something days now.
Shut up, Rock. Well,
mute it when you hack up a lung. Jesus.
No, Rock doesn't like it when I mute.
Sally, it's better when he coughs on air, because then when he mutes, you just hear a jet engine when he unmutes. Anyway. So we're talking about the good old-fashioned Donnybrook, Tim. Brawling Brutes and Imperium. They say people are going to die and get injured.
What?
They say people are going to die and get injured.
Okay, I missed that because somebody coughed over you.
Sheamus, Ridge Holland, and Butch are wrestling Imperium at Extreme Rules, and we all anticipate that someone's going to get basically near death.
I'm backing Imperium.
Why?
Because that is what you do.
No elaboration. Okay, cool.
I like Imperium.
Because you like Imperium. So that's why you're backing them. Casey, who are you
backing? I'm backing them because I like me.
Casey, who are you backing in this one, apparently?
Is this for the Intercontinental title?
In a six-man tag? Or is this... This is a six-man tag.
Wow, I mean, you never know, just because it's a six-man
tag. No, the Intercontinental title is on Friday on the season premiere of SmackDown on Fox.
Ah, so that'll happen before.
Yeah.
Well, darn, because that will heavily influence my choice. I'm going to pick... I think for the six-man, I'm going to pick the Brutes, because... I mean, my choice may change on Friday, but I think the Brutes will win, possibly because they'll need it. And I mean, when Imperium is involved, one of the other members that's not Gunther can take the pin or submission or whatever. So yeah, I'm picking the Brutes.
Okay, you're picking the Brutes, but will Sheamus actually get the title on Friday?
That is a different thing. I feel like I don't think he will. But I don't think it'll be like a clean win either. I feel like something will happen where all of the other members of the teams will get involved, and that'll somehow cost them the title.
Okay. So, Brent, who are you backing on this one?
Let me see. For this one, I want to say I want to back the Brutes on it, only because I like what they've done with Sheamus in terms of this. Like, we know that he's been the fighter for a while.
Uh-huh.
He's the rough and tumble guy. But it was, like, it got taken up a notch with that match against Gunther at Clash at the Castle. Because Gunther just beat the high holy hell out of him. But the entire story was Sheamus just kept coming. That it took everything that Gunther could throw at him before Sheamus finally stayed down for the three count.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for this... By adding in someone like Butch, you've got two guys that can fight well against the whole of Imperium, and you can have something where, like, Kaiser takes the pinfall, which could play into the whole, you know, Gunther smacking him into shape like we saw before, and trying to, you know, beat out the weakness of Imperium. And plus, I think if you don't have Sheamus win the Intercontinental title at SmackDown, I think you can keep it on Gunther because you're still building him up. He's still going to be dominant before you decide to kind of turn him towards the Universal title or Unified Universal, whatever it's called now. The UWU title.
The Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Know the product.
Like I said, the UWU title.
Know the product.
It's the abbreviation is UWU.
Know the product.
Shut up. I'm still trying to learn the map in Fortnite, so I'm busy with other things.
I like UWU, though. That's funny.
Yeah, it's the UWU, the UWU. But I think if you don't have Sheamus win the Intercontinental title here, and he still has a chance to win it eventually and get his Grand Slam, this is a nice kind of, like, runner-up prize. And I don't think Imperium loses anything, or, you know, if they were to drop a six-man tag, especially if someone like Dunn or Sheamus are able to pick up the win here. And with Dunn and Gunther in the match together, it's just an extension of the battle that they had for the NXT UK title that we saw many years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. It is a strap match. Drew McIntyre and Karrion Kross. Thoughts?
Is a strap match and no DQ.
You would assume so, yeah.
You would assume so. This one is tricky.
You're a booker.
Karrion Kross is just coming back.
He is.
You don't want to do to him what you did to what's his name when he debuted on the main roster, Ciampa.
You don't want to do what you did to Karrion Kross when he debuted on the main roster.
I was just about to say that.
Oh God, they're bringing back the gladiator gimmick. This is step one.
You know what I'm talking about. You don't want to do that again.
Well, here's the interesting thing. For the strap match, is it just the fact that they're connected via the strap, or do we actually get the old school, like, stipulation of hitting the ring posts? Yeah. I think it's probably just going to be they're connected by a strap, but I always like that added feature of, like, you know, you have to hit the four corners.
It's not a four corners match. There is a difference.
Anyway.
Wait, who?
You, Brent. Continue.
Okay. The build for this has been good so far. Karrion has come back and he's decided to assert himself by going after, you know, one of the big dogs in Drew McIntyre. And he's just kind of made his life hell. Also, I will give them credit. Good pivot that they had from the fireball spot. Didn't quite go as they expected, but they still were able to save that in that overall segment and make Karrion look strong.
Yeah.
With this, it allows Drew to be a little more vicious than he would in a normal match, and it allows Karrion to exhibit everything that made him good in NXT. So I'm honestly looking forward to this. I think it should turn out well. Karrion probably needs the win here a little more, just because since he is debuting and you do want to assert him as higher level than what would happen if he were to, say, lose to Drew. Drew can help build him and not lose anything in his standing in the company on that brand. Mm-hmm. So I think also if Drew were to, you know, if there was some chicanery by Scarlett and then Cross locked in the straight jacket or whatever it's called now.
Cross jacket.
The cross jacket and able to get the victory that way, then again, it doesn't hurt Drew that much because, yeah, it took multiple people to beat him, essentially.
Case, what do you think?
I echo exactly everything Brent said. Cross, I think Cross will win just because, like Brent said, you got to establish him as that upper echelon talent if that's what they're going for, which looks like they are. You've got to give him that big first win. Which, I mean, it's nice having him go in there and beat the crap out of people that aren't Drew McIntyre, but once again, echoing Brent, Drew's not going to lose anything by losing this match. Because of the nature of the match, there can be shenanigans in order to keep Drew strong, whether it's Scarlett getting involved and or Karrion Kross using the strap to choke out Drew on top of using the cross jacket. There are a lot of factors you can use to keep Drew strong and give Kross the win. And it makes sense to give Kross the win to establish him as that upper tier player that they seem to be doing. So yeah, Karrion Kross.
Okay. All right. It's an I quit, man.
Hold up a second. I didn't really pick.
You said you don't want you know, you're going Karrion basically based on your one comment.
Well, that was just the one comment. I had stuff to say.
Okay.
But you moved on to Brent.
Continue on then.
Well, the Usos are going to be in the building, aren't they?
You don't know.
You don't know.
They're not booked yet.
So I mean, as long as it's not in Canada, they will be.
Yeah, where is Extreme Rules being held?
Right here.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. So they could be in the building. You don't know.
You don't know.
It's possible. However, I am picking Karrion Kross. It would be dumb for him not to get the victory over Drew. I mean, looking at the bigger scope, it's a rub from Drew for Karrion to come in and get the victory, no matter how tainted I see it winding up being. Basically, what I'm saying is Karrion's going to win by nefarious means.
Okay. It's an I quit match. Edge takes on Finn Balor, Tim.
Oh, this is an interesting one.
How so?
We're getting Balor and not Demon Balor.
No, I don't think I don't think you get Demon Balor until Judgment Day is over.
Not until right near the end of the year, at the earliest. Otherwise, it's not a very smart move to basically blow your wad on that whole thing right then and there. How many I Quit matches have we ever seen Edge be in?
I don't know.
I don't remember a single one of them.
He's probably been in one or two. Probably could have been in the John Cena feud.
I don't remember seeing him in an I Quit match. But this whole thing, if Edge bows down and quits, is this feud not over? This whole thing?
Could be.
It's too soon for it to be over. But you don't want to bury this faction that you're invested in. That's the issue. That's the problem. It's a difficult one to call. Edge has been doing great putting him over. I'm going to give the victory to Balor. Like he's going to be the survivor of the match. But I don't see Edge saying he quits. maybe he, you know, kayfabe gets knocked out by somebody or something takes place and he's unable to continue. Would that not work for booking?
It could.
So this is what I'm thinking.
Case, what are you thinking?
I think the ending of this match is going to be messy.
Here I am all trying to be like super analytical and serious and shit like that for a change. Oh, it's going to be messy.
Well, I mean, I got to give you your due. You've been gone a while.
Aw.
Yeah. Judgment Day is going to get involved one way or another. I have no idea how or why. And who knows, maybe even Rey Mysterio will get involved. Who knows? I don't know. I feel like of all the matches that we have on this card, this one will be the most hectic for a finish. Whatever the word is that means involves a lot of people.
Overbooked.
Overbooked.
The dusty finish.
A chaotic, overbooked, schmozzy finish. In which case, it will, I don't know, they've kind of painted themselves into a corner with this, because if Edge beats Finn, what happens to Judgment Day? If Finn beats Edge, what happens to Edge?
Pretty interesting.
I suppose I'm going, you know what, I'm going to give it to Edge, because I feel like maybe they might have AJ get involved to move Judgment Day on to AJ Styles.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say. AJ Styles will do something to cause Finn to lose the match and allow Edge to win.
Ooh.
I don't know how. That's what I'm guessing.
I have speculation. I'll wait until everybody else is done.
No, take your speculation. Go.
Okay. Well, I'm either praising or blaming Keishi for my thought here, depending on how it goes or doesn't. There have been things on the internet for a little while, off and on, about another match with Beth Phoenix. So to take your idea, Casey, and just flip it a little bit, Edge loses thanks to Rhea Ripley, which brings out Beth to beat her down after the post-match mosh, which sets up a match between Rhea and Betty.
I would like to see that.
I wouldn't hate that one bit.
No, that'd be cool.
I could book that.
I mean, I'm going to keep my choice, but I won't be mad if that's what happens.
Keep your choice. More power to you, brother.
I'll stick to my guns.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to get you to give up your guns.
Oh, I know, but I just thought I'd put it out there for the sake of, I don't know, putting it out there.
There you go.
Brent,
thank you for putting it out there.
Brent, what do you think?
Okay, I'm going to take this a little bit further. Hey, Rock, what's next month?
Survivors. Crown Jewel?
Well, I was talking about the one you named in
Survivor Series. There's two
what
next
is special?
Month.
What is special about this year's Survivor Series?
You tell me, Brent.
Two words. War game. Ooh. This is the start of setting up your male war games, possibly. I know you can do the Bloodline and Roman as part of one as well, but it doesn't seem like there's a clear kind of faction to take them on. In this, or you can even just do a regular Survivor Series match, because you have two clear factions on either side, essentially. You have Judgment Day, Finn, Damian, Dominic, Rhea. On the other side, you have Edge, Rey, you can put Beth in there, and now you've got AJ kind of hanging out there. Because of what's happened in recent weeks on Raw. The fact that Finn didn't decide to smash his head with a chair or his neck and saying that's not what friends do. So you could start this here by having, you know, the smosh finish. Either Rhea gets involved and Beth comes out, or AJ comes out to run off Dominic and Damian, and in the whole mix-up, Finn gets the victory. Or, you know, Edge gets knocked out, Finn puts him in some kind of submission to have the referee be like, oh, he's out, that's the end. And now you start to set up those two teams building towards that big match. And if it's a Survivor Series, in theory, you can still weave in Rhea and Beth, because they both have worked with males before. Or just, you know, whenever they're tagged into the Survivor Series match, they are, you know, they can only fight each other. And then something will happen where they both get DQ'd or counted out or something in the match to get rid of that stip. But that way, it answers Casey's question of what happens if, let's say, Edge doesn't win, where does this go next? It's, okay, you have your gang, we're going to try and unite to get, you know, to challenge your gang. Like, we've all had issues, Ray has his son who's found his new mommy. AJ has some, you know, issues with Finn. Edge has his own issues with Finn, and everyone gets something out of working on this. That being said, I think Judgment Day needs to get the win here, because if Edge wins, unless there's some like beat down at the end of the, you know, after the match happens that will get everyone involved, it needs to have something that carries on. And I think with Judgment Day winning, that can carry it on a little more, because it's like this group is coming out to challenge, like when the Shield was in power, it's like, you guys are thinking you're running roughshod. Well, we're going to step up and take you on.
Okay. We all made picks, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Raw Women's Championship is on the line in a ladder match. Bianca Belair takes on Bayley, Casey.
What a good card of matches that are very hard to pick, in my opinion.
They all have story behind them. They're not rushed to put together.
Yeah. So good.
Old school booking, baby.
Oh, man. Do they pull the trigger on Bayley now at Extreme Rules? This is tough. But I mean, whatever happens here will probably precursor the Women's War Games match, because that seems to make the most sense, as you have Damage Control and Bianca and people who are friends with Bianca.
Tough call.
I think I'm going to say Bianca will keep it. I'm not sure how, but then only so that Damage Control can win the War Games and Bayley can use that to get a title match further on down the line. That's kind of that's my feeling of how they might want to go with that.
Brent, what do you think?
I think this is your chance to get the belt on Bayley. She came back at SummerSlam. She formed her group. The group has had the chance to win the women's tag belts, but I feel like especially here, Bayley needs the women's title to kind of cement herself. And plus, another kind of thorn in the side of Bianca. Because if you remember when they fought on SmackDown before Bayley injured her knee and was out for a year, the whole thing was, it's like Bayley was trying to get the one up on Bianca, but Bianca was always kind of, she was getting the wins, but Bayley was being just the annoyance. Now you can have the chance of Bayley getting the win here and needling Bianca even more. And especially because, Bayley's got the backup. She's got the help. I know that Bianca's got Alexa and Asuka kind of in her corner, but depending on what may happen next weekend or in the near future, Alexa may be busy. We don't know, but the announcers are sure as heck pointing out that she's kind of lost a step, or she isn't what she used to be, which seems to portend something coming. And if Bayley were to win, you have your first challenger sitting there in Asuka. So it gives you a way to go where it's not like, okay, Bayley wins, what do we do with her? It's kind of like, oh no, Asuka's been feuding with that group, so they can interject her into that title picture. And Bianca's had a good run with the belt the second time, and she can always be there to be like, you know, I want my rematch against Bayley. So for this, I'll go with the fact that I think Bayley can pick up the win here, and just her with the title, as we know, is just insufferable, but in such a good way.
Tim?
Well, I think Bayley's at the point right now where she doesn't need that title, and she'll be better chasing it for a little bit before they give it back to her. I'm picking Bianca to win, in case nobody was able to figure that out. But this is definitely, I think, for me, the number one match for me on the card next week.
Okay.
I'm just worried, you know, I'm just worried that I bought into the hype a little too much, and then I get disappointed. I think this will live up to the perceived hype.
Good to know. All right. SmackDown Women's Championship. Go ahead.
I just said, is it?
All right. SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line in Extreme Rules match. Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey, Brent.
Oh, this one's tough for me, because for Extreme Rules, this allows you to be to give Liv a bit more of a chance, in my opinion. If it was just Ronda versus Liv in a straight up wrestling match, I think conceivably we could look at this and be like, yeah, Ronda should just crush her. Even though Liv snuck out with a win last time. If we remember, it was under slightly dubious circumstances in that she was tapping. But with it being the Extreme Rules moniker on top of it, that allows you to be able to bring in weapons. It allows for equalizers for Ronda's dominance, and it makes it so it's a little more feasible for Liv to be able to pick something up. I'm trying to figure out what to do after this, because I think a win here against Ronda in Extreme Rules can help Liv, but I'm trying to figure out who the next person would be.
Okay.
Whereas I think with Ronda, if you wanted to, you could match her up against Shayna, because there has been a little bit of seeds planted there when Ronda was telling her, you know, like, when you're ready to become a bad bitch and like insert yourself on this brand like you're supposed to, do it. And I could see Shayna kind of come out and be and essentially tell Ronda, like, you know, I've been here long, you know, you dip away and you go have kids and you do all that while I bust my ass here, and then you're going to chastise me. So even if Ronda doesn't get the belt, I could see that as the next feud for her, which would be intriguing. But yeah, I'm not sure who I'm picking right now, so come back to me on that part.
No, make your pick.
God damn it, Rock. I'll go Liv just because I think her title reign needs a little bit more to it.
Tim?
I think it needs to last a little longer.
Tim.
Well, I'm of the thought that the Liv Morgan fanboys and fangirls have been given what they've been clamoring for, and Liv has two wins against Ronda. How many other wrestlers have two wins against Ronda?
No one.
Consecutive, right?
No one has two wins over her, period.
Exactly. So as of right now, Liv has something she can brag about while dropping the title back to Ronda. That's still an accomplishment. And that doesn't kill any heat she has by taking the title off of her. She's had a decent run, and she's been able to retain the title even though she tapped, you know, like refs missed or whatever. I think it's time to set that feud up that Brent was talking about, but have the title at stake, because having the title at stake actually makes it mean something more. And yeah, if I was booking it, I would book Ronda to win, so I'm picking Ronda.
Casey?
Casey's sitting there. I don't want to.
Oh no, I'm just thinking about it. I'll never say I don't want to pick.
Oh, okay.
Well,
it's radio. Think out loud.
Sorry. Yeah, I've enjoyed the build up of Liv Morgan going into this match. They've done a really good job showing the people that, like, she's willing to do some crazy stuff in order to take out Ronda, aka sentoning through the table from the outside and kicking a camera and swinging bats wildly to the point where they bounce from the floor into a wrestling ring, which in itself is a feat. Go bat.
That was impressive.
It was impressive. It's just like, you see it like fling on the floor, and then the next thing you know, it's in the ring. It's like, wait, wow.
Yeah, I just think that was a fortuitous bounce myself.
Oh, completely.
100%.
That was not on purpose. That was just luck of the draw. Yeah. So yeah, they've done a good job building this up. You don't have to do much for Ronda because she is a badass. I'm going to say Liv will retain only because it's an Extreme Rules match, and something she'll be able to do something with a weapon or object of some sort that will allow her to keep the belt. Cause I don't think you need Ronda to have the title for the program with Shayna, unless it was the other way around and Shayna had the title and Ronda came and took it off of her. But that would be like a long-term setup of Shayna turning into a badass and then getting that title and beating a whole bunch of people just for Ronda to finally come back and be like, well, your time's up.
Okay. The Fight Pit, Matt Riddle, Seth freaking Rollins, special referee, Daniel Cormier. Thoughts, Casey?
I'm trying to rack my brain to figure out what Seth could do to, like, weasel his way into this win. And it's hard. I'm having trouble just because, well, one, it's like Riddle's match because it's in a fight pit slash whatever. And then you have the special guest referee of Daniel Cormier, who obviously does the same thing. And probably, I think having him in there will allow Seth to take a loss in a way that, you know, like he'll get into Cormier's face and it'll cost him the match somehow. So yeah, I'm going to pick Riddle.
Okay. Tim?
Yeah, it's time to pull the trigger on this and have Riddle finally go over. I don't know how nefarious or squeaky or anything Seth could get from where he's been. Really. I'm expecting this to be a good match, but I'm expecting Riddle to finally get the payoff.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so the first two fight pits were Thatcher Ciampa and Thatcher Riddle, correct?
Sure.
They were both in NXT. I mean, there was like a Lion's Den previously and other stuff, but I'm trying to think like the actual fight pit.
Mm-hmm.
So Riddle has experience there, though Thatcher pulled out the victory in that one. Cormier being introduced as the special referee is intriguing because for those who know of Daniel Cormier, he is a big wrestling guy. There's been talk that he was going to make the jump to WWE when he retired, and it's kind of intriguing of like, okay, is this his way in? Is this the way to like introduce him? And if he wants to do something, carry it forward, because one of your other cross-sport athletes doesn't quite look like he's going to be coming in the near future, like a lot of people thought. Probably going back to college and competing in amateur wrestling for one more year. So it introduced an interesting wrinkle because it's one of those things of, you know, is this a one-off for Cormier? Is it just the fact that because it's the fight pit and you can bring in a legitimate MMA guy to referee it, it's kind of like, okay. Or is this, again, kind of his introduction into the WWE if he wants to be used as kind of a special attraction? If that's the case, if you want to, if it's going to be something moving forward, then he can screw Riddle and you could have the two MMA guys start their feud with one another, and Seth worms his way out of winning a match that he probably had no right winning. I think what is actually going to happen, though, is Seth Rollins is going to be Seth Rollins, annoying as shit, and Cormier is just going to have enough of his shit and let Riddle beat the high holy hell out of him. And Riddle picks up the win.
Because I predict a ref push.
Okay. So, before we go, where does the white rabbit show up?
They're going to pull him out of a giant hat.
God, it's going to be Eggman, but with a hat.
God, if that's not Bray Wyatt, the entire internet's going to lose his shit.
They're gonna roll out a giant hat, and he's going to raise out of it like Edge does for his brood entrances.
There's two ways I think you can do this here. Either one, I think he appears at the end of a match. Like, he doesn't get involved with a match. He comes out in the post-match for either of two matches. Either one, it's Cross versus Drew, and it's what you set up for Drew moving forward. Or two, which would be even more intriguing, from it being choked out or whatever. And that's when the lights change. And that's when the White Rabbit appears. And it ties together a previous feud that we'd seen with these individuals and taking it in a new direction.
Okay.
At least that's my take.
Any other takes about the White Rabbit appearing on Saturday?
It's been Sami Zayn the whole time.
Screw the bloodline.
It was me, Roman.
It was me all along.
And you have Jay sitting there screaming, I knew it.
But not really. I told you. But I mean, If they're swerving us in a way that it's not Bray Wyatt, I would be okay if it was Sammy.
For everything,
that would be a fantastic troll.
If they go through all of this and it is not Bray Wyatt,
does it erase everything Triple H has done since he's taken over?
I don't think it erases everything, but I think there's going to be a lot of disappointed people, and that like the next time they try to do something viral, they won't buy it. With this, everyone is paying attention. Everyone is waiting for that moment.
This is not quite at the level where the internet lost their shit trying to break the code. Back in when was that, 2005?
Well, the internet was a lot newer then.
But people still lost their shit trying to break the code. It was hilarious.
This has gone deeper than that, the White Rabbit stuff. the way people go through things, it's deeper than trying to figure out when Jericho's returning.
Would you say it's gone down the rabbit hole?
People have gone down the rabbit hole,
Tim.
Big time. Like looking at source code down the rabbit hole.
And getting trolled.
So in a way, they are trying to break the code.
Jesus, the level of detail they're taking things with zip codes and having you do research outside of the show. It's not just like, oh yeah, you know, like when the Edge vignettes hit and it's like, oh yeah, no, there's the Jeff Hardy stuff, there's the Dudleys, there's all of that. We can kind of insinuate who that is. This is taking that to that, like, umpteenth level where it's going, okay, so if you follow this zip code, it is this hotel, which is named this, which then directs you into this thing by its, you know, Twitter handle. It's just like, Jesus. The red string that is being used to connect all of these pins is amazing.
So that's Extreme Rules, which will be live this Saturday, right?
I know.
On Peacock and the WWE Network worldwide. Everyone on this show will be back next Sunday to review the entire thing.
And let you know where we got it wrong and what we thought of it.
You can go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork when the full card is released and make your picks.
But how many more matches do you think they're going to add to this thing?
One.
The pre-show. But honestly, if they left it as this six-match card, this is worth it.
This is a really, really, really good card on paper.
It is.
It really is. But it's a WWE premium live event, so they'll go with seven matches. But that's next Saturday. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, is the post-show.
It is indeed the Raw post-show. To go home to Extreme Rules, we'll talk about on the Raw post-show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. You heard us previewing the premium WWE live event. Fuck it. I'm calling it a pay-per-view. But there's somebody you haven't heard from yet concerning that, and that would be Lindsay Warchies, live at 10 o'clock Eastern Thursday nights with another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack Radio Show with Rock.
We'll preview Extreme Rules, have all the news, notes, and everything in between. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern.
I got stuck on trying to think of saying something smart-ass, but I got nothing. Oh, well, you know what? I could always play Fortnite with my friends.
You could, usually on Saturdays, 10-ish Eastern. Not this Saturday, though.
Oh, you're busy this Saturday, are you?
There's no CB Radio this Saturday either, so... But that's most Saturdays, CB Radio, midnight-ish, CBRadio.com.
There you go. And, of course, yeah, as Rock said, next Sunday night at 8 Mountain, 10 Eastern, we'll be back to talk about what happened on Saturday night.
Indeed.
Absolutely. And keep updated all week long with all the happenings on Wild Talk Radio on the social medias.
Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's WTR Sunday night on Twitter and the Facebook. Hey, chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen, and you can avoid ads.
Click, click, clickety, click, 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 click. Hey, you know what? Hockey's back. That means that I'm back to tweeting a whole bunch about hockey. But I'm not just tweeting about hockey. I'm talking, professional wrestling, WWE, a little bit A&W because I like their hamburgers, but a little bit of AEW. Still telling bad dad jokes once in a blue moon and a bunch of other things. To find out what everything is, if you're not doing it yet, follow me at Flames Forums. You can follow Casey, too, if you want. I think you should.
Yeah, I do social media things. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KyleDriver. If you like pictures of sushi rolls on top of title belts, you'll find those there. I do have like a Facebook fan page. You can find that at Keishi Matsunaga if you want to. Also, I have merch that you can purchase online at Redbubble. The links to that are in the descriptions of my Twitter and my Instagram.
Merch.
That's
merch.
All I have. Ooh, merch perch. Go. Christmas is coming, guys.
Hey, yeah, you know what? Casey's merch stuff would make a great birthday present for somebody. Brent's on Twitter.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens. Also, just to let you know, if you want to buy some of Keishi's merch, you too can be Keishi Matsunaga for Halloween. Just get yourself a bento box and you can be the most recent Alberta Heritage Champion.
The only Alberta Heritage Champion to eat off of it, off of the title.
Exactly.
I'm glad that you put posted a video of you absolutely polishing and cleaning the hell out of that thing and disinfecting it first.
Well, I mean, I knew where it had been.
Yeah, because germs. Ew.
Blech.
So, chat, tweet Tim tomorrow at Flames Forums. Happy birthday.
That's just gross. Did we hit all the plugs?
Use credit code ROCKETSOCK at the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store because we're a hashtag Epic partner. Chat, do what I just told you and they didn't hear tomorrow. Cool. Anyway, send us home, Tim.
That's it, everybody. I miss you for the time that I was down and out and not able to be on the webcast, but I'm back and I'm glad that you tuned in tonight. Looking forward to talking at you next Sunday night about Extreme Rules. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. See you then.
Wild Talk Radio Network.